In his book, Remember Who You Are, William Willimon, who teaches at Duke University in North Carolina, is a theologian and is the chaplain at the university there, talks about his mom, who when he was in high school would always say to him as he went out on a date, "Will, do not forget who you are." We know that Mom Willimon meant by this, don't we? She didn't think that Will was in danger of forgetting his name or his street address, but she knew that alone on a date or in the midst of some party, while joined together with friends, he might forget who he was. She knew that sometimes all of us are tempted to answer to some alien name, and we then are not who we really are. And so her maternal benediction as Will went out as a teenager was, "Don't forget who you are." Simon Peter would have understood Mom Willimon very well indeed. There he was by that fire on the night of Jesus' arrest, pressured by the crowd that had gathered around him. Simon Peter, who hours before had said to Jesus, "Don't worry, Jesus, I'm not going to forget who I am, and I'm sure not going to forget who you are." But then we know what happened. He gave in to the temptation to answer to an alien name. We can sympathize with Peter, though, can't we? Think of all that he'd experienced in one evening. If you'd been through that, you would have had a tough time, too. There'd been the Last Supper, but not only the Last Supper. Read John's Gospel, chapters 12 through the end of chapter 17. There's intense teaching there. Peter had to take all of that in. And then, after that, he and two others, James and John, go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. And after a meal and a talk like that, you'd be tired, too. And so he falls asleep. But then Jesus comes to him and says, "Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? The flesh is indeed not able. The spirit might be willing, but the flesh is very weak." And then there was that moment where Judas Iscariot comes and kisses Jesus and betrays him. Well, that was about all Peter could take, and so he takes a sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus. Then there was all that confusion with the temple guards as they converged on Jesus and took him into custody. And after that, St. Mark tersely puts it like this, and he's referring to Peter and the other apostles. They all deserted Jesus and fled. What an intense night. That's more than a party with your friends. Now, think of it, though. When we live in a world like this, it can be so hard to remember who we are as Catholic Christians. Have you ever had one of those Simon Peter moments? Perhaps in the context of university, where the climate is one that is anything but sympathetic. Well, actually, it's hostile to Catholicism, especially in subjects like philosophy. Like Simon Peter, you feel that people, including the prof, and maybe especially the prof, are hounding you. It's so much easier to answer to an alien name than to put up with the relentless pressure. You choose to be silent and to even deny that your name is Christian. Or it might be that you are so pressured with the burdens of daily life, the responsibilities, everything that is going on at home, at work, in the world. You just feel overwhelmed in just trying to make it through the day. God seems as remote to you as the possibility of the Calgary Flames winning the Stanley Cup during my lifetime. Or perhaps you're saddened because your adult children have forgotten who they are. They have willfully and intentionally rejected the Catholic faith, or they've just drifted away, becoming consumed by a material world that gives little or no attention to things of the Spirit or eternity. Yes, these and many other experiences can lead us to answer to an alien name. And when that happens, we forget who we are. And yet, there is more to Simon Peter and his story, and there is more to your story, and there is more to my story. This is an amazing fact of the New Testament. The one who had denied Jesus on that Thursday night, some 60 days later, is now not just talking to some people around a campfire. He is now actually talking to the dude who was responsible for Jesus' death. That is the high priest. He is right there with the same people who had plotted to kill Jesus. And the man who could not, 2 months earlier, say, "Yes, I'm one of his followers," to a maid, says these words to the high priest. This is like Mr. Number One in Israel. "We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." Now, that's going to get you into hot water. But then that's not enough. He goes on to say, "God has exalted Jesus at his right hand. He is the leader. He is the savior. He is the representative of Israel. And through him, we have forgiveness of sins." And then he goes on to say, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Wow. 2 months earlier, he couldn't even stand tall around a campfire. And now, twice, he says, "We can't obey you. We've got to obey God." What happened in Simon Peter's life for this kind of radical conversion? 180-degree change. Here's a man with such boldness, with such conviction, that he is able to stand up to the high priest. Now, I would suggest to you that what happened was our gospel reading for this evening. For here is that beautiful story that has such detail, it cannot be anything other than an eyewitness account. We're 90 meters from shore. There were 153 fish in the net. There was Jesus on the beach. There was bread. There was fish. And along with seven of the original 12 apostles, they have a fish breakfast. But it's what happened after breakfast that is so amazing. Because right here, Jesus is alone with Simon Peter. And basically what Jesus is saying to him is this: "Simon Peter, remember who you are and remember who I've called you to be. Remember who you are and remember who I've called you to be." In their interaction, three times, it's interesting what Jesus does. He doesn't use the name Simon Peter, or he doesn't use the name Peter. He says three times, "Simon, son of John, Simon, son of John." And I was thinking, why does he record, that is St. John, it this way? Because John himself begins the passage by saying Simon Peter, and he says Peter at the end. But Jesus doesn't use that name. He says Simon, son of John. Why is this? Well, I would suggest for the following reason. Simon, son of John. Simon needs to understand his true humanity and his own human frailty. And this is the amazing thing about Jesus Christ. And if you don't take anything else away from this homily, take away this point. Jesus chooses the weak, he chooses the lowly, and he works his art with broken instruments. Did you hear that? Jesus works his art with broken instruments who have names like Simon, son of John. Now, I want to show you one other thing in this passage that in the English translations you will not get. Because what happens next is just so beautiful. Three times Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me?" The first two times Jesus says, "Do you love me?" He's using the Greek word agape, which is the love of God, the sacrificial love that took Jesus Christ to the cross. And so basically he's saying to Simon, son of John, "Do you love me with that kind of love?" Simon answers with another word. He doesn't use the word agape. He uses the word filio, which is the word for friendship. So what Simon is saying to Jesus is, "Jesus, yeah, I'm your friend. I'm your friend." And Jesus catches on. So the third time, he doesn't use the word agape when he says, "Simon, do you love me?" But he uses this word filio. So basically, he's coming down to Simon's level. And he's saying, "Simon, are you my friend?" And Simon says, "Yes, Lord, I am your friend." Now, what's significant about this? I love what Scott Hahn said about it when he observed, An intended distinction between these terms would indicate that Jesus is desirous of a complete and heroic love from Peter. A complete and heroic love. That's why he uses the word agape. But he is willing, by the end of the conversation, to settle for Peter's friendship. Isn't that great? Because Jesus uses broken instruments. He takes us where we are, and then he makes beautiful music. But this friendship with Simon Peter would ultimately lead to heroic love. And Jesus prophesies this. He says, Peter, at the moment, you might say I'm your friend, but by the end, you're going to love me with that kind of love. Because he goes on to say, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished to go. But when you get old, you will have to stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and take you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded him, follow me. In other words, don't forget who you are. Simon, son of John, will by the end of his life love Jesus with agape love. He will give his life for Jesus, and as tradition has told us, he was crucified upside down. He was someone whose birth name, Simon, son of John, always reminded him that like us, he is a frail human being. It reminded him that Jesus chooses the weak and the lowly, and he works his art with broken instruments, like Simon Peter, like you, and like me. Now, as I bring this to a conclusion, I want to invite you to allow this meditation of Simon Peter's life to be an inspiration, so that like him, we can hear Jesus address us with his tender voice, and it is a tender voice. As we gather around, not a fish fry. This is so much more than a fish fry. This is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And as we gather around this meal that he is providing for us, may we hear him ask us, do you love me? And if tonight you can't say, yeah, I love you like that, but Jesus, I'm wanting to be your friend. Jesus can work with that. He can take that. And as you leave Mass, hear him say to you, remember who you are. Do not answer to an alien name. Because you see, with people like this, Jesus can work his art so that more and more we can say, Jesus, I desire to love you with a complete and heroic love, and I'll even be willing to lay down my life for you. That's what the gospel is all about. This is what Easter means, and this is what it is to remember who you are.